going on, DJ Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the BMW Championship. Not as usual, but he's been on a lot more here recently. Got to give him some credit. Our go-to man right here, who comes in when one of us can't make it. We have Ryan Baroff, of course, here with us to take place of Tyler Tambolin. Tyler is traveling today back from Memphis, so he's not going to make this pod. But we have Ryan here like usual. Ryan, how are you today?
Doing good, man. It's good to have you back. And hopefully we can win you as much money as we won Tambo last week.
Yeah, Tambo, of course, he had the Willie Z call last week. I've tailed him. Everyone in the world tailed him. We all got that W last week, which is really, really nice. Willie Z finally gets that win. Definitely saw it coming, but we were like, when is it going to happen? And Tambo called that it made sense with the new caddy, especially when you hear the caddy, used to be caddy for Ben Crane. His specialty is reading putts. That's this guy's specialty, who he has as his caddy now, and it paid off, and it looked good. What'd you think of the event?
I thought it was great. I didn't watch much of it until late Sunday, I guess. I was tracking a lot of it, obviously. But, you know, with kids and work, I don't really watch a lot of golf during the week until the weekend. But yeah, like, it just, you know, after he shot, 63 on Friday, it just felt like it was going to happen. And like, even starting that final round a couple shots back, like, it was Spahn and Duncan. And it's like, yeah, they're not all going to play bad, but you just felt like he was going to win. And then the Cam Smith penalty to start Sunday, and he's now four back. And I was like, all right, if you can't win this one, you know, it's probably not going to happen for a while. But
I mean, Sepp Straka made it sweaty. There's no doubt about that. On that second playoff hole, when he hit that iron shot and had that massive club twirl, like that type of club
twirl. He did that a lot.
But I mean, that one specifically, you're like, wow, yeah, that shot must be good. And it was. Mm-hmm. Left himself about 7 feet. And then, of course, what's his name? Zalatoris left himself about 14 feet. And, of course, these are par putts, too, because they both had to take a drop to get there. And then you see Zalatoris make that putt on 18 during regulation, like about a 12-footer. And then you see the 14-footer that came in. And then he made the right decision on that last playoff hole. I don't know if you saw it, but the FedEx St. Jude, they just released a tweet about an hour and a half ago. We're recording this around 7:30 Eastern Standard Time on Monday. They released a video of someone attempting Willie Z's shot if he played it in that little nook when it was by the brick and didn't go in the water. And it was one shot, bounced straight back into the water is what happened to this guy. My guess is that probably would have happened to Willie Z as well. So that was a smart move. I'm sure everybody who had a Willie Z ticket was just screaming and yelling at the TV, like, please go back to the drop zone. Go back to the drop zone. Don't ruin it. And he did, left himself nice with 15-footer and drained that 15-footer for the win. I mean, pretty impressive stuff by him with the putter. He still has that crazy little swing hitch going on those shorter putts. But, you know, overall with the arm lock and the claw grip and everything he's changed, he's been making a lot more of those pressure putts here. I would say in the last few months, you saw it at the majors. He just barely missed the one to get into the playoff at the U.S. Open or PGA, one of those two, where he's barely missed by an inch. We all saw it coming, and the putter was the key, and it actually worked out pretty well, really well for Willie Z this week. Other guys who performed well, what basically happened was once the back nine started, all the guys sort of faded away except for Straka and Willie Z. And Willie got the lead, you know, the first three holes of his round. I mean, I think he went birdie, birdie, birdie and took the lead from Spahn basically immediately. And held on throughout the whole round. But Straka was there trying to kill our hopes and dreams. But luckily, Willie Z came through. Other guys, Finau again, another top five finish. Really, really strong by him. You have, Mullinax out there, who's just been a birdie machine here recently, who just keeps going birdies at the birdie. I think he's over 30% birdie or better percentage rate in his last four events. $6,200 this week. You'll see him soon in some of my stuff that we're going to talk about here shortly. Anybody else that catch your eye this week?
Yeah, I thought there was a lot. You know, it was it was pretty interesting because it was a unique group of guys who were up there, right? Like, not just weaker names, but different skill sets. Like, you have Zalatoris, who is the premier ball striker. Everybody expected him to be there. You had Finau. You had Morikawa. Rahm and JT played pretty well. Fitz played well. But then Lucas Glover was up there. Brian Harmon was up there.
You called a little Lucas Glover last week, right? We had some Lucas Glover hate.
Lots of Lucas Glover out there.
On our comments.
Yeah, and so, like, most of the guys who were up there, they actually didn't do that well off the tee, which is pretty surprising for a tour event, right? And, like, I use Zalatoris as a perfect example. He drove the ball well yesterday, right? He got one that, like, ended up behind a tree, a couple that went through the fairway that looked perfect. So I believe he actually lost, like, a shot off the tee yesterday. But anybody who was watching, he drove it really well, basically, until the playoff, right? And, yeah, like you mentioned, Mullinax, he had a couple short putts that he missed, but he is just scoring, right? His short game is sharp. He's making putts. He dominates par fives. Like, he's going to be super popular this week, but I don't really see a reason not to play him on some teams.
Yeah, it's good to see Rahm get back into form a little bit. Morikawa get back into form here a little bit. And their prices are reasonable this week. I think, you know, it's nice to get back on them. I mean, other guys up there, you know, Harmon, Adam Scott, who led the field in strokes gained putting this past week, and he didn't win.
Hard pass,
which is strange to me. I don't know about rostering him this week when that was the majority of his game. But like I said, like, and also Fitzpatrick just quietly going along without that much fanfare and just getting a solid start after solid start. You know, he was up there. Sungjae's up there. JT had a nice little finish. Cameron Davis. It was good. He was on one of my cash game cornerstones last week. Had another 4-for-4 with my cash game cornerstones with the winner. Had Willie Z in it. I've had the winner or second place or third place in like 4 of the last 6 cash game cornerstones I've had. I've had a bunch of in the back half of the season, a lot more 4-for-4s making the cuts. We're ending the season strong when it comes to the cash game cornerstone.
Where our guesses right last week, we said Zalatoris, M, Connors, JT, I think were the guesses.
I think what it ended up being, let me look just to double check, my cash game cornerstones, which were on Gup's Corner last week, not on the pod. I do apologize about that, people. But last week on Gup's Corner, the cash game cornerstones were JT, Willie Z, Sungjae, and Cam Davis.
So Davis over Connors, got it.
Yep. Everybody in the top 15 and the winner once again. So it was an easy cash. I think it went Henley and somebody else. I forget who as my final two spots. I think it was Henley and let me double check here.
Russ was tough to miss the cut by one, but
missed the cut by one. I had Henley and Moore to fill out the rest of my lineup. And Moore, you know, he finished in what? 31st place, which was solid. Henley missed a cut. He was on the cut line, needed the birdie one of his last 7 holes.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't do it. Had a bunch of like 10 to 15 footers he just couldn't make. So, I mean, it didn't hurt in the long run. I was still, you know, top 10% in all double ups with those. So we're going strong with the cast. And of course, Tambo had the Willie Z call for the win. So that's my 5th. I actually had that in my write-up as well. So my 5th outright winner of the year. I'm trying to get I want 6. 6 is respectable. 8 was my goal. Okay. I'm not going to reach the goal. I want 6. And you can see by my betting card this week, I am really, really trying for 6. Not my typical betting card, but we'll get to it. Anything else to talk about? Oh, the cam penalty. You know, I thought the PGA got rid of this rule. It just doesn't make sense. He definitely broke the rules. It's definitely a two-stroke penalty, but to do it like 24 hours later, you know, after the round had already started for most people, it just doesn't seem right, especially now in the days of DraftKings and but betting and, you know, they're sponsored by different betting sites. I mean, that really messes up the numbers and stuff like that. And from what I heard, the only way someone ratted him out, I'm thinking TV, someone called it in. If either someone called it in on TV or somebody on the course did it and ratted them out, it's going to be one of those two options. And I thought the PGA sort of got rid of that. What do you make of that whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, he should know that rule. It's a stupid rule, but it's been a rule for a while. I'm guessing that they actually kind of noticed it that night, but waited until he came back so they could like kind of go over the video with him instead of like trying to call him at like 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I think that's my guess. It probably happened because they wanted to go over the tape with him, but
because he admitted it when they brought him in, he admitted that he was on that line. He vividly remembered he was on the red line. So he admitted to the rules officials when he came back.
It's a stupid rule for that, but also like there's a different rule if your ball is on the line, touching the line, half over, like there are all different variations of it. But in that sense, when you drop, you need to drop out of the hazard. Mm-hmm. No part of that ball can touch the line. So
do you think it has anything, you think his withdrawal has anything to do with that?
I don't think he was happy about it, but I think he is, you know, he's locked into a top three, top five going into next week anyways. And if he is hurt at all, and this is going to be his last PGA Tour start for a while for $18 million, I guess he'll get healthy.
Yeah, I think this happened before. Like Webb Simpson was like third going into the BMW, and he withdrew, and he ended up being fourth going into the Tour Championship. So it's not really going to affect him too much, I don't think. But of course, you know, the big story is he's gone. Same with Leishman. The thing is, if he won this past weekend as the number one player in the world and he leaves, that's a big, big, big loss for the PGA Tour. I mean, even now, he's number two ranked.
There's still a good chance it happens.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he does next week. He goes in, gets that W, he could be number one. And then Scheffler, of course, who was my highest own last week. I did great in GPPs. A bounce back, right, this week at a cheap price. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, it's a mess with it. You know, everyone knows I'm sort of pro-live. I don't even know if I call it that. I just don't mind guys going out and trying to get more money and better themselves and their families and their families. Yeah. For future, I have no problem with the guys doing that, but you have to admit it is hurting the tour if these bigger names keep on going, and they're going to have to figure something out. Because I mean, not having Cam Smith, not having DJ, not having Bryson, not having Koepka, I mean, you know, and they're trying to ban them from majors with the no world golf ranking points. I mean, that's a lot of golf that we're going to miss out, and it's not like LIV is going to go anywhere. It's here. It's here to stay. It's going to be around. These guys are already contractually obligated for the next, 4 years. And there's going to be more people that leave. I know it sucks. Right? People are angry at them for leaving. I can't really be too angry at them for taking the money, but it does really make it tough on the PGA Tour to have quality events week in and week out, I think, personally.
Yeah. I mean, the guys who are staying here, right, they're still going to have the same off weeks. And those fields are going to be weaker and weaker. I think you're going to see a shift in, we're going to get more of the Euro guys, which has kind of already started, right? We saw it with the Barbasol, the Barracuda. You're going to see more of it now next year as they're giving away tour cards. And I think you'll see more opportunities for the Korn Ferry Tour guys to come up, you know, not just the guys who graduate like with the fall. But I think you're going to see more spots open up for those starts. You're going to see more of college kids get sponsor exemptions. Like that's what they need to start doing in order to keep those guys here versus going to live.
All right. That sounds good. Let's move on from this past week and let's go over our listener league. Let's go over our tournament of champions. So we had our tournament of champions last week. Tyler will go ahead and get the prizes out. First place. Undercarter. This is a Fantasy Golf Insider avatar. Love those guys over there at FGI. Almost worked for him. Big fan of those guys. He came in first place with 498 points. Second place was Clap66, who won recently. So he's on a little bit of a heater. 475 points. And then Established a Run avatar, trying to get this money. Finished 470.5 points. Those are your top three. If you guys are in the top three, reach out to Tyler Tambolin at Toe Tag and Tambo on Twitter. Throw him a DM. He will get you your prizes. We also did have a regular listener league last week. And hold on, let me look real quick. And that listener league is going to be the winner of that is going to be on our Tournament of Champions for next season. And the winner was D'Lo 8889, no avatar, 547 points. He started off with John Rahm, who was 12% on, of course, finished in fifth place. Matthew Fitzpatrick, another fifth place guy, 17.2% on. Willie Z, the winner, of course, 30% on. Good job there, DGen Nation. Thigala, 4% on, finished in 13th. Svensson, 1% on, finished in 51st. And Andrew Putnam, that was a winner. That was a winning move right here, finished in fifth. And, of course, he was hardly under, he was 2% owned. Shockingly, Svensson was less owned than Putnam. So we had 2% owned for Putnam. What'd you think of the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, awesome to get the winner. Obviously, Fitz was pretty low owned for the price. Also came through with the top five. But, yeah, the Putnam thing, he was a wizard with the putter and the short game. Not overly surprised because it's kind of what he does. And he's done it at this course when he finished runner-up to DJ a few years ago. On a heater right now. So, yeah, that was an awesome team.
Sounds good. We'll go ahead and get what's his name? D'Lo 8889 into our Tournament of Champions next week. Tambo, we'll go ahead and send you the invite. All right, that's enough of last week. Let's go ahead and talk about this week of course. We do have a new course, so lots to talk about. The FedEx Cup. So the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs has arrived as a top 70 in FedEx Cup points. Head to Delaware for the BMW Championship from Wilmington Country Club, just like last year. We head to the BMW knowing very little about this course. Last year at Cage Valley, a lot of us were you know, it was the same predicament. And the course ended up playing a lot easier than a lot of us thought it was going to play. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the PGA likes to set up new courses on the easy side. Add also the fact that the Western Golf Association works with the PGA on course setup for the BMW each year, and the winning score at this event has been minus 20 or better for the majority of the last 7-8 years. Now, even though Wilmington Country Club has narrow fairways and thick rough, I still expect the winning score to be close to minus 20, especially when you look at the weather. Not that much wind, should be soft conditions. The first comp course that comes to mind when looking at WCC is Firestone Country Club, where the likes of JT, Decky, and Lowry have won. The large bent grass green complexes mimic Augusta and Mirrorfield Village of it. So you might want to take a peek at that as well. Some other RTJ courses. I know they used to play RTJ for the Quicken Loans back in the day, like 2014, 2015. There's some other ones out there, but, you know, they sort of gone away from the Robert Trent Jones tracks, basically on tour for the most part. Now, when it comes to, let's go ahead and get to the course. So Wilmington Country Club, 7,500 plus yard, par 71, three par fives and four par threes. The length of the course a bit skewed as two of the par fives are over 600 yards and three of the par threes are over 200 yards long. There are also eight par fours ranging from 390 yards to 450 yards and three longer par fours right around 490 yards. So length off the tee, definitely going to be helpful, but not necessary to succeed as there are a fair amount of shorter holes to score on. I do expect driver to be used on close to half the holes, maybe more. When it comes to proximity stats, I expect wedges from 125 to 150 on six of the eight shorter par fours. The other two shorter par fours will probably see wedges from 75 to 125, and you'll probably see two more wedges from that 75 to 125 range on the two longer par fives that are three-shot holes. Now, you'll probably see at least four approaches over 200 yards on the three long par threes and the reachable par five. Off the tee, golfers are going to see tree-lined fairways that are slightly below average in width with many fairway bunkers and tall 4-inch Kentucky bluegrass rough if the golfers miss the fairway. Even though the fairways are narrow, golfers can get away with missing them as a tree line is about 10 to 20 yards from the edge of the fairway depending on which hole you're on. Also, it's a lot easier to control spin and distance out of bluegrass rough compared to Bermuda rough, which is what we've seen recently. So as long as the golfers are longish and miss the trees and bunkers, I think missing in the rough won't be too penal. You're going to have a lot of these approaches with wedge in their hand, especially on those shorter par fours. There's eight of those. Plus, you got two you know, three-shot par fours, where even if you're in the rough on your second shot when you're laying up, you know, you'll still have a wedge in. So, I'm not, unless you miss crazy wild, unless you're missing into the lip of these bunkers, unless you're in the tree line, I don't think the rough is going to be too much of a burden as long as you have a short iron in your hand onto these greens. All right, so on approach shots, golfers will see huge greens that are fast and undulating, tons of fairway bunkers, tons of greenside bunkers surround the greens, and there are some runoff areas on a few holes. If you exclude the three long par threes and the three long par fours, I'd expect a high green and regulation percentage on all the other 12 holes, which should help golfers with weak short games. Lag putting and three-putt avoidance will be important on these massive greens. Water is in play on about four holes, and the bent grass greens should run around 12 and a half on stem. The wind looks calm all week with some storms in the forecast, so we could see soft conditions that are ripe for scoring. Ryan, what are you looking for in golfers this week?
Still to be determined. I think, anytime we come to a new course, you can make the comps, look at the yardages. It does seem like the rough is going to be up here a little bit, right? Like you look back at, I think last year Caves Valley is a decent comp to this. It's not going to be quite as easy. I assume it was really soft last year. And those guys, I think they made like 30 birdies, if not more. I doubt we'll see that, probably a winning score of 18 to 20 under is kind of where we're going to land. Seems like everybody's playing the bomber angle. Maybe that's looking at just the scorecard yardages, or maybe it's that we have some par fives. I certainly think that'll help, but if the rough is up and we know there's a lot of sand, and I'm sure these greens are going to be very, very quick, I still think there's going to be a premium on more of the total driving where you're going to have to hit fairways as well. So, I think when we talk about players at the top, I'm going to gravitate towards that kind of bomber model. But as we go down the board, you mentioned other Robert Trent Jones courses here, Troy Merritt won when it was here, not this course, but the other Robert Trent Jones here that they played the Quicken. Obviously not a long hitter, but he hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens, putts really well. So I think there's going to be different ways you can get it done this week.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not that long off the tee, good drive percentage is something that you might want to look at because these fairways are narrow. They are going to be missed. So you are going to, good drive percentages. Your driving accuracy plus when you miss the fairway, how often you hit the greens. That's good drive percentage. I think that's something that you can look at. I think birdie or better percentage, your classic stuff, approach game is going to be the key. I think one thing you can sort of shy away from is the short game. I don't expect that to be that big of an issue this week. If your guys are missing these 8,100 square feet greens, there's a problem already, no matter where they are, on their approach shot. It's going to be an issue. And you've seen this before on courses with, longer rough, you like to have a wedge in your hand. And so again, that's good. That's probably why the bomber angle has been popular, but again, I don't think you need it. I think you can get by with accuracy off the tee and maybe, if they're a little bit shorter, looking at like 125 to 150, 150 to 175, something like that, good with longer irons, because of course there are those three 200 plus yard par threes. And of course you're going to have one when you 200 plus approach on that par four that you can reach into. Anything else that you're keying on, bank grass putting, of course, anything else catch your mind?
No, I think I'm not going to overthink it. I'm like, we've seen year in and year out guys carry form throughout the playoffs. I'm not looking for someone who's been, like Sepp Straka, who's been off all summer to randomly pop up and win or top five this event. I think you're going to see a lot of the big guys up there. I think you're going to see a lot of the same names continue to play well. So I'm just not overthinking this week.
All right, let's get to these tiers. Let's go ahead and start up top. We got Willie Z all the way to Rory since Cam Smith withdrew. How are you going about this range here?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I think you have to start with a decision on probably Rory. He was very popular last week. I think I had a lot of them last week, but I think if you look at it, how he missed the cut is alarming, right? It was his worst off the tee. So he actually lost strokes off the tee. If you had to guess, when was the last time Rory lost strokes off the tee in a golf event?
It has to 20 events.
Players Championship 2021. So yeah, more than that.
Yeah.
It was his worst by far. Accuracy was horrible. He was just missing every fairway, right? So that's a little bit concerning. He hasn't been great right after his worst off the tee rounds, right? Because like for Rory, he goes as his driver goes, right? If the driver's bad, Rory's bad. I have trouble going back there this week, especially at the price. Also, you know, he's been putting really, really well. That can mask a lot of other stuff. And quite frankly, these are greens that he's never seen before. Nobody's seen them, but he hasn't seen them. I don't expect him to putt as well as he's been putting lately either. So I think with that, he's going to be a cut.
You have to think he'll probably be the lowest owned in the 10K range, right?
I don't know. People love playing Rory, so we'll see.
Yeah.
That
could be 17%.
It's crazy, 16%. Though, because he was, what, the highest last week, right? And then he's going to go down to the lowest. So, I think Zalatoris is going to get a bump down just because he won, right? People got their money, and he's now priced up 1,000. I don't think he's going to be as high as you think. But for me, I'm very keyed in on the other two, Rahm and JT.
Yeah, we're on the same boat, and I expect them to be the two highest owned. Go ahead.
So again, I think when you look at it last week, they were the two lowest in the 10K range for price, right? They were 10-2 and 10,000. I think number 6 and 7 last week. Now they're number 3 and 4, but we lost Cam Smith. So they're really like number 2 and 3. But just look at the body of work last week. The ball striking for them was there. They got better as the weekend went on. John Rahm gained strokes approach in all 4 rounds. He has not done that since the Tournament of Champions in January. And not to make excuses for him, but his wife just had a baby. The timeline kind of matches up, you know, he's been kind of dealing with that all year since January. I assume they got pregnant like around the holidays. It's kind of how my math works out. That's all done now. And he played well and he gained strokes around the green and he drove it well and he putted fine after one bad day. So, I'm going to be pretty much all in Rahm and JT. The good news is with the pricing this week and with the no cut, you can very easily get them and still get another 9K guy if you want. So you can really do whatever you want this week.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the pricing, 10-5 being the highest price golfer, there's a lot you can do. I'm going to play JT and Rahm. JT's my favorite. Rahm's my number 2. I'm going to be playing both of them heavily. But, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the other two, just because I like the 9K range so much. I might just stick with those two up top and let's move on to this 9K range.
Yeah.
I have three of my cash game cornerstones are going to be in this range. And the way I'm going about cash this week is, I want 3 guys up top that I think can win. Okay. 2 guys in the 7K range that I think are top 5 and 1 punt play. There's no cut. You'll get all 4 rounds. You guys probably already know the punt play. I talked about him earlier with the 31% birdie or better percentage in his last 4 events. You probably already know that one. But the 3 I'm going up top, I'm going Finau. Just too hot. Guy's playing incredible golf. He has that winning feeling. He's long enough where, I think he could do well. We'll have short iron in his hand at all times. He's really good at those short par 5s. Good drive percentage, solid 3-putt avoidance, really good actually for Tony. So I like Tony a lot. He's my first cash game cornerstone. My second cash game cornerstone is going to be Xander. Xander's actually, he's one of the best on par 5s over 600 yards, one of the best on par 3s over 200 yards. You're going to get 5 of those holes, each day. Of course, his iron game. His iron game has been really solid. 3 putt avoidance, good drive percentage. He's all of it's solid. I bet him as well. I think I bet him at 16-1. I really, really like Xander this week. I think Xander's actually going to go against my normal cash mind frame where, usually when I have a cash game cornerstone, I never go more than 20% on him in GPPs. I think that's going to change. I think he's going to be at least 30% for me. I love Xander. And my third cash game cornerstone is Morikawa. We saw life from him. We know the iron game, of course, super important here. Not the longest guy, but of course, he'll be in the fairway a bunch. have those irons onto those greens. You don't have to worry too much about the short game here. So I like those three for cash. Now, GPP plays, I mean, shoot. I like Hovland a lot. Hovland's another one of my favorites down here. Again, elite iron play. Again, don't have to worry too much about the short game, which, of course, everyone knows is his weakness. Really good from 125 to 1. So 125 to 150 and 200 plus are the proximities I'm keying on. And he's first and fourth right there. I like Hovland, a 30 to 1 bet. I like that number. I think it's a fair number for Victor. I like him a lot. And I think the two guys, I'm not going to go talk to everyone, but I'll play Cantlay and I'll play Scheffler as well. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I think this week sets up perfectly for you. I don't think I agree with the cash game cornerstones build. I have concerns about Xander. So I guess we'll talk about that one later. But so probably not a cash game, but I think your two lowest owned guys here are going to be your two Koreans. I think they're now priced up in a spot where everybody is really going to do kind of what you did and kind of focus on the higher nines, maybe the 10K guys. And I don't think they're going to play Sungjae or Tom. And I think both of them could potentially fit the course nicely. So if they end up being the guys who are, you know, 8, 9, 10% owned here, I think that's a very interesting one. I expect Burns to be low owned as well. He is now priced up way more than he was last week after a very disappointing week last week as chalk. So for GPP, I would kind of go there. You like mentioned three cash game cornerstones in the 9K and didn't take world number one.
I didn't have to, but I'm going to play him at GPPs. There's no doubt in my mind. But the thing is, like, do you really think his ownership is going to go down? I still think at 9,800 at that price for the number one player in the world, he'll still get some run.
Yeah, no, I would rather play him in cash than in GPP. But I will play him in GPP because I know my bills will be unique because I have no problem playing JT, Rahm, and Scheffler on a team. All right. It's a no cut event. I think there's plenty of value down there. You can play Mullinax. You can play another 6K guy and have a lot of upside with.
Yeah, I would say for GPPs, the balance build will be contrarian. Mm-hmm. If you want to go against the grain, I think a lot of people are going to go stars and scrubs.
Yeah. And like, even with that, like you could grab a couple of like the 8K guys who are going to be lower owned. And you could still get them with like Rahm and JT or Rahm and Scheffler or any combination that you want. And it feels like a balanced build, but it's still pretty aggressive. So but I think everyone's going to grab 3 9K guys or kind of 1 10K guy and 2 9K guys. So I'm going to try and stay away from that build as much as I can.
So why do you not like Xander?
So look, Xander was never going to sustain the level of play that he had over the summer. Right. It's just, you can't just keep winning. And I think we saw that last week, but how he did it last week, again, right. He lost strokes off the tee and approach. We don't see that from Xander. The only time that he did that this year was at the Players. And I'm just assuming he was in the bad weather wave, right. That's when we had the nasty storms. I don't even look at that event. So he doesn't do that. Right. I expect him to be looking forward to Eastlake, which is probably his best event and his favorite course on tour. And I expect him to, quite frankly, give two shits about Wilmington, Delaware. He's probably going to finish 12th or 15th or 16th and be totally fine. But like when you're choosing between him and Finau and Scottie Scheffler, he's just not going to do it for me this week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a month off after the Open Championship before he played last week. He still had three rounds in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he was playing horribly. He did finish 51st, so he had a 73 on Saturday. But just he's number one in my model, and I can look past 1 week where he's off, and I'm going to go to him. I just think this course fits him really, really well.
He fits a lot of these courses. My only pushback there would be like, yeah, he's first in your model, but it's a course we've never seen before. So yeah, that's true. You want to trust the model versus...
I get that, but a lot of that has to do... I think, you know, he does have the advantage on the long par fives. And along par threes, he's one of the best. That's five holes right there, where he should have an edge on the rest of the the field. And then, you know, it's eight shorter par fours. When you look over his par four efficiency in that range, he's still top 25 for 400 to 450 in this field. This is a pretty good field, so he's well above average in that. good drive percentage is high. I like the way I can go 1 week off. I think, I don't know how popular he'll be, but.
Well, I think it helps that he's $1,000 cheaper than he was last week, you know?
Yes, yes.
I felt like even as he was playing well, like I felt last week the price was just, it was prohibitive. Like you were not going to pay 10-6 for him. So at least now he's back where you used to him be. So
now if you are not a fan of Xander in cash, I did have another option where you can go JT Young.
Bingo. So
if you want to go, if you want to go JT Young, Finau, and Mullinax, of course, who will be my final cash game cornerstone. Yeah. That works price wise too. It's the same price.
Plus, wasn't JT your favorite? Play your favorite.
JT and Xander are my two favorites.
All right,
so
good.
I'm saving JT for GPP, so he can be my highest stone.
There you go. I'll
probably throw him at like 45%. But yeah, so that's the way I'm going. Let's go to this 8K range. I like your call on the Koreans though. At the bottom, if you can get single-digit Koreans for M and Kim, you might have to go in that direction. And I might just have to go, you know, not play Cantlay or something and just go down below and play the Kims at lower ownership with skill level just as good. But I'm going to play Scotty. I'm definitely going to play him this week. Yeah. Let's go to the 8K range. Of course, Cameron Young is going to be the darling this week. What do you make of Cameron Young? Because I thought about it, I think I did bet him, mm-hmm. You know. But I'm not sure. We'll have to see. Because I mean, like, I think he's going to be one of the more popular plays on the board.
Yep.
Like the most popular play.
Close. I mean, in this range, yes, he's going to be the most popular play. And I think, like you mentioned, there's a lot of different variations of teams and players that can get you there. Where he's probably your third guy in, right? Even for some, he could be your fourth guy in. You know, if you do start kind of lower and play like a Finau, Xander, Fitz team, right? He could be your fourth guy in. I do think he's going to be popular. I think people are playing the bomber narrative. He's popping up on like Data Golf. He had a really good ball striking weekend, a really good Sunday. All of that is going to push him up, I would say 20-24% this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he gained strokes. I think he gained four more strokes in both approach and off the tee last week. I think he lost 5 or 6 putter is what it came down to.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be the best play there just overall for cash. I also bet him. I think there's a lot of, like, there's just a lot of good pivots here. You know, I don't think anybody else here I don't think anybody else here is going to be 15%. Spieth will be exceptionally low. Lowry will be low after burning everybody. Neiman is interesting because he was the one guy who actually played really well last week, but now he's priced up.
He's only, I think, 500 more than last week.
Yeah, it's everybody else at the top is now lower, right? Like everybody, yeah. I think there's more value there, and it's going to be hard to get here if you're playing multiple guys up top. But Neiman makes a lot of sense. Homa, I have concerns about because the iron play just hasn't been as good. Obvious concerns about Matsuyama, but if you want a very low owned guy who fits the course perfectly, play him. But
yeah,
there's a withdrawal risk. It's a no cut event. So I don't know. And like, I think Hatton, Connors and Wise all fit really well here. Ironically, I think Wise is probably the one that I would target more than the other ones. I just think he has more upside. I think Corey Connors would. I think Corey Connors will finish 25th. I think Hatton will finish 25th or 28th. Wise could finish last or sixth. I would rather take that volatility there.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Wise. I like Wise a lot in this 8K range. I like Neiman a lot in this 8K range. He has the length. His iron play, you know, is well above average. Tons of birdies. I think Lowry's going to be my low own play up here. If there is any type of comp to Firestone, which is what I've been hearing. You know, he's won there before. I think you might be able to get him single digit owned, like 8-9%, 10%. You know, so I like Lowry as maybe a pivot off Cam Young. Homa interests me as well, just because of how good he is on the longer par threes and the longer par fives. But you're right, his iron game has been iffy, and you're going to need a lot of good iron play here this week, so we'll have to see for that. But I like Hideki. I'll be playing Hideki a lot. Hideki, Lowry, Wise, those three guys, and Neiman. Those four guys I like a lot in this range, and I'll be playing a lot of those guys. Let's go into the 7K range. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Yeah, for me, there's two that stand out. One is a cash game play. There's a cash game play last week, Cameron Davis. I think there is absolutely no reason to stop playing him.
He's in my cash lineup. He's number five. Not one of my cornerstones, but he's number five.
Cheap, hits the ball great, scores. He can do it a lot of different ways, right? He's an excellent long iron player. So if it does end up playing longer and you have those approaches from 175, 200, 225, I trust Cam Davis quite a bit. He has some really good spike weeks with around the green and putting. Putting more kind of round to round than week to week. You know, he'll gain four one day and lose three the next, but he does it while making birdies. So he is by far my favorite cash game play there. And my favorite GPP play, who I think is going to go low owned despite having a really good week last week, is Brian Harman. I think he's priced up a little bit here for what he is, and people are going to play the bomber narrative. People are going to play Cam Davis and not click Brian Harman. But that's a guy who is streaky as hell. He just gets it done on a lot of different golf courses. And if you just kind of look at the year that he's had, he's somehow like 20th in the FedEx Cup without even having a win, or I don't even think he has a runner up. But if you just look at his stats across the year, it is just green across the board, right? Like, we know he's got a good short game. We know he hits fairways, but like, he's just consistently been gaining off the tee and with approach most weeks. He was great last week, finished third. So I will definitely go back to Brian Harman in GPP. Yeah,
he's 17th in the field in strokes gained tee to green in the last three rounds. And this field is a really strong field.
And he's the type of guy you would trust on a harder course. Like, you want a top 10 or top 15 for this price tag. Like, he's one of the first guys you pick there.
Yep. Cameron Davis, I'm definitely a fan. I think I might get back on Pendrith. So one thing I've noticed about Taylor Pendrith is, you know, we know him as a bomb, but he's been playing some courses in this little run that he's had in the last 2 months where he's just been top 25-ing everything. There's been some courses there that really aren't bomber-type courses. Last week, he played well the first couple of rounds, was up there, I think, you know, near the lead after day one. He fell apart over the weekend, but that was on a course where I don't think it really played to his strengths. This one, I think, could play to his strengths a little bit more, pound it out there, wedge it up, make your putt. You know, that seems like something that he can get done. So I like that. Thagala, another guy who gets hot and sort of can be streaky, had a really good finish last week. He can make a bunch of birdies, and he can make birdies in bunches. So I'm a fan of him. Down here, if you go a little bit more down to 7K, I think if you're going to go off the board, really low ownership, Noren, one of the better putters on Bentgrass out there. He hasn't been playing well, but I mean, you know, you hope that putter sort of comes together and does well. He's really good on the longer par threes, three putt avoidance. He's solid. So I sort of like Noren down. Oh, I'm sorry, 6,900. So I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Other guys in the 7K range, I play Riley, and I like Davis a lot as well. Mito. Mito down here at 71. He's a stat monster. If you're looking for stats, he's up there. He's solid. Top 10 in my model. I'll have to see, dig a little bit deeper as the week goes on. But right now, he looks good. We'll see if I end up playing.
Yeah. Pretty similar. You know, I'm still thinking on Pendrith. Like you said, last week, not a good course fit. This is a course fit. My concern with Pendrith, obviously, is it's not going to be six events in a 7 week stretch after coming off an injury. I think it's possible he just has kind of hit a wall, and he also just got in this field. He's like right on the bubble. So like, if he doesn't burn the lights down the first 9-10 holes and, you know, like has a chance to win, he's not going to make East Lake anyway. So, I have a little concern there. You mentioned Sahith. I never play him, but I think I'm going to this week. So I hope he doesn't get popular, but he probably will. Another flop lag guy. Well, I guess he wasn't that bad, but you mentioned Mito. I think he was popular last week and he had some good runs and he made a bunch of birdies. I think this is a much better course for Mito as well. I will definitely play him. In terms of other guys there, there's not much. I think I'm done with Russell Henley. I'm done with JT Poston, done with Keegan. I'm done with Seamus, done with McCarthy. Maybe play Davis Riley, like you said. I think he has a lot of upside, but he hasn't been able to put four rounds together. He scores, but then he fades, and then he scores, then he fades.
He scores and gets like a 10
And then, yeah, that's what I mean. So like, I would rather
shit ton of birdies and then like an eight.
It's
the man. The man could get a triple bogey out of anything.
It's kind of like Keith Mitchell too. Like, I think Mitchell has had a lot of good rounds and a lot of good shots, and then it's like, how is he not scoring? Like, you're seeing all these fairways, all these greens, and then at the end, Mitchell has two birdies and one bogey, and you're like, all right. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna play a ton of Davis, a ton of Harmon, a couple of sprinkles. That's about it here.
All right, let's go to the 6K range. I already talked about Noren, Bazidenhout, another guy who putts well on bent grass, who I can see, you know, three putt avoidance in there. I can get back on Bazidenhout. Wyndham Clark, you know, pound it out there, hit your wedge, make your putt. He's been playing really, really well. Probably some of the best stretch of golf that he's played in a while. I can go back to Wyndham Clark and go back to Taylor Moore, the guys that's been playing good golf. Of course, my final Cascade cornerstone, Trey Mullinax, $6,200, 31% birdie or better percentage in his last 16 rounds. So Cascade cornerstone,
yeah.
So Cascade cornerstones for this week for me, going to be Finau 97, Xander at, where is Xander? 96. Morikawa at 94, and what's his name? Mullinax at 62. That still leaves you close to 15K to finish out the rest of your lineups. Any other guys you see in the 6K range that you want to talk about?
Yeah, there's a lot here, and I think I'm going to stick with a very specific prototype of player. I want really, really good iron players and guys who can score, with the exception of the last guy that I mentioned. But I think it's an excellent flop leg opportunity here on Varner for 6,900. He obviously struggled last week. He missed the cut by one or two at Wyndham because he kind of fucked around on the last hole. But in terms of like long iron and scrambling and just kind of long-term birdie making, I think Varner makes a lot of sense here, and he's now cheap enough that I'll take some shots. I think that same model, you have Griot. I'm not as high on him, but again, you know, I trust him to make birdies because he hits a lot of irons really close to the hole, and he's playing really well right now. I'm going to go back to Tom Hoge, who screwed us last week with his horrible Thursday, but then he was either number one or number two strokes gained tee to green on Friday. So the game was fine. He missed the cut by one. I think this is a pretty good course for him as well. Of course, you can do Glover again. I don't mind that. But the guy that I'm going to say is the Lucas Glover this week is going to be Luke List. And it hurts me because he's such a bad putter. The ball striking has really been good. He missed the cut by two last week. He made a late double bogey. But I was tracking him like the whole time because he was playing with Lowry and Connors, who I had a lot of. He hit a lot of really, really good iron shots. He gained 1.37 approach on Friday, and gained off the tee, gained 1.6 approach, off the tee on Thursday. He lost strokes approach on Thursday because he hit two balls in the water on one hole, I believe, and lost like 2.2 shots approach on one hole. So you take that out and he gains approach and off the tee both days. Obviously the concern with Luke List is his putter, but he is literally the stone minimum. You plug him in there, you can play anybody you want. You plug him in there with Trey Mullinax, you can literally play anybody you want. So
yeah.
I think there's different ways to do it, but I'm going to play Luke List this week.
Yeah, I like List. I think Kitayama fits into that mold at the minimum price, a bomber who can hit it out there, who we know can score well. We've seen him do it before recently in the last couple of months. He's been in contention. I think that was across the pond, but still, he has that length and he has that birdie-making prowess, so I can get behind Kitayama. Danny, anyone else that we miss?
No, Kurt. Yeah, Kurt makes sense. You know, he had a couple of water balls last week, and that's why he missed the cut by one. He has upside for sure, and there's not as much water here. So, yeah,
it's only four holes of water. Yeah. All right, before we get into the bets, I do want to talk about next week. Next week is our 300th episode of the Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast. We are trying to get a special guest on. So for all you OG, triple OG, Fantasy Golf Degenerate fans, go get on the Twitter, start tweeting at BMS, trying to get Brad on for our 300th episode next week. He says he thinks he can do it, but let's try and get him past the threshold. Everyone send him a text, send him a tweet saying how much we want him. on this milestone show next week. All right, let's get the bets. My betting card this week is Titan up top. It's going to be Xander 14-1, Justin Thomas 16-1, Morikawa 20-1, Hovland 30-1, Cam Young 30-1. Of course, really sticking up top. I want to get that sixth win just to make me feel better for the season because that hasn't been the greatest. Six wins, respectable. You know, 15% win percentage. I'll take that.
Good. Yeah, pretty similar. I got four guys. I went Rahm and JT up top. I'm going to trust them. They're my favorites. And then also Morikawa and Cameron Young. I did bet both of them with places because you need to win a couple of bets this week, it feels like, to kind of break even with these prices. So hopefully Rahm or JT wins, Cam or Morikawa top five, and you know, it's an easy week.
Yeah, I definitely went like $30 over my budget. I never go over my budget, ever. Oh. I have a $200 budget.
Coming off a win, you're going to get every week. Win.
Yeah, exactly. So I spent like $30 more. It's like the first time this season where I went over my budget, except for maybe the weeks after I won also. Those might be the only ones. But so I have no more room for live bets. So these guys better show the fuck up. So I have a sweat this weekend. That's all I got to say. One and done. I don't even know who I have left. I think I have Cam Young left. I'll play Cam Young.
I'm in like last place. I don't know, but yeah, any stud you have left, use them. They're all fine. If you need to pivot and kind of go off the board, I still wouldn't go down below like the Tom Kim Hovland range. I just don't think you're going to get any value down there.
See, my whole thing got screwed. I had Scheffler for all my, I'm still in the money, but you know, it dropped me off. And
my story is the same every year. I screw up the big events. You know, I got a couple wins. I've been okay, but like I had Scotty at the wrong major. I had JT at the wrong major. I had Rahm when he missed the cut. I had a Rory missed cut. It's just special.
All right. This sounds good. Tell them where they can find you there, Ryan.
Yep. Twitter, rbaroff427. Wiley and I will be back in the fall. But yeah, like really fun time of golf, even though our season winds down, you know, the new season's 2 weeks away. You have the Korn Ferry Tour finals where you're going to see a lot of the new crop of players come up. A lot of guys we already know about, you know, because they've been out here. Justin Suh, one of my favorite bets this week. Austin Eckroat, another guy that I bet, you know, guys that we've been playing who are going to be out on tour next year and probably for the next 10 or 15 years. So I'm excited for it. We got Euro Golf and just keep plugging along.
Yeah. If you've been betting Goddard, you might want to throw him at the KFT. What, 33-1 is a number?
Yeah, I mean, all these guys, right? Like most of them are going to have at least some status next year. You know, he could very easily earn his card, and you'll see him every week next year. But all these guys are going to get a bunch of starts, anyways.
Of course, you can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my article on GupsCorner.com. I already sent the article in, but my course preview in. I have my cash game cornerstones. An update to the course, final betting card, favorite GPP plays coming out Wednesday on Gup's Corner. Use promo code Kenny, save yourself 30%. All right, so we're into the last week, last weeks of the season. It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs, baby. Let's win some motherfucking money, DJ Nation. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan.